Amen, amen. So before I begin, I just want to give some credit to the folks that have worked so hard to make this possible for us this morning. So Brother Dick and the worship team have just been amazing, worked so hard on this. And I appreciate everything. And also our sound folks, our AV team, and they have so much. Mr. Craig, he has put countless hours into putting this stage, platform, everything together so that we can do this. So if you happen to see him or speak with him over the phone, let Mr. Craig and his staff know how much you thank them for everything that they've done. Can't thank them enough. If you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Very familiar because we all heard about the man who was dead and who was raised again. I'm not talking about Jesus this morning. I'm talking about Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Jesus had often stayed at Lazarus's house with Mary and Martha, and visited that place multiple times. But in this passage, we find out that Jesus is going to Lazarus's house because Lazarus was ill, was sick. And then eventually, Lazarus dies. But we also see in this passage how Jesus felt the emotion of that moment, the emotion attached to death. And that He is a Savior who knows how to sympathize with us in our weakness because He Himself felt the sting of death. Yet we know this. We know the end of the book. That Jesus is alive. That He conquered death once and for all when He was raised again on the third day. And He's alive today and He's coming again. Amen. But when we look at this passage, we learn this truth. This is what I want you to hear this morning. Jesus holds ultimate power over life and death. Jesus holds ultimate power over life and death. Have you found in your Bible, John chapter 11? Scroll down to verse 17. Verse 17. Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already died. He had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met Him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You believe this? She said to Him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word this morning. We thank You for the truth that You hold the power of death and life in Your hands. Lord, for us, Your children who know You, I pray, dear Lord, that we are encouraged by this truth today. And Father, for the one who's here who doesn't know You as Savior and Lord, I pray that today their heart is convicted by the word, that they enter into your presence for the very first time, repenting of sin and turning to Jesus for salvation. Lord, that you would save them today. Father, that you would move in our hearts in such a mighty way that no one here could ever receive the credit that only you deserve. We would recognize your power and your presence through the reading and the understanding of your holy word today. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that I pray. Amen. Amen. If you understand what has just happened, Jesus got word that Lazarus was ill, that he was sick. But if you see what it says here, the Bible says he waited for 2 days to go. Verse 6, in the place where he was. And then verse 7 says, and after this he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now whenever he said that, the disciples said, hey, that's not a good idea, because all those that were in Judea wanted to stone Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. And in fact, Thomas, we know him as the what? As the doubter. He said, let us go to Jerusalem so we can die with Lazarus. Let us all just go and die. Can you imagine the scene as they came to Judea, to Bethany, to that place? Can you imagine the weeping and the mourning? You've been to a funeral before. You know what it feels like as they entered into that place. It was great, great difficulty and sorrow. And the Bible says that many of the Jews, in verse 19, had gathered around that home to console. That's what we do. The way Baptists do it is with a covered dish of consolation. Just bring some food, right? But how many of you have ever been in that place and you know that all the food in the world won't heal the hole in your heart where someone belongs that you've lost? All that the Jews could say, all of the comfort that they could offer, could never replace Lazarus. Nothing was going to bring Lazarus from the dead. He was dead. And the Bible makes clear that he was dead. Several times it says that Lazarus was already dead. But I want you to understand this first. In difficulty, Jesus is working. In difficulty, Jesus is working. And what I want you to hold on to this morning is this, that your suffering has a purpose. God has a purpose for your suffering. And in life's darkest moments, Jesus is doing His greatest work. He's accomplishing more than you could ever know. And whenever the Christian is squeezed and trouble comes into our lives, God is refining us through that fire. He is testing us and making us, molding us into the image of Jesus Christ. He's working patience in your life. He's working endurance in your life. He's working faith in your life so that you may grow. He allows suffering. Somebody say, well, I'm about tired of this coronavirus stuff. If you would say amen, just toot your horn. Get a big amen for that. But you know, there's even good that's coming out of the COVID-19 epidemic. I looked on Facebook, and my ex-neighbor, he wrote on his Facebook page how he and his wife and his daughter laid out on the back lawn on the trampoline for hours and just talked and visited. He said on that Facebook page, I can't tell you how long it's been since we've done that. Families are coming together, and we know that that's on God's heart. That's on God's mind, that families would be reunited, that we'd look at each other, we'd look each other in the face, and we'd spend time, quality time with one another. And God's doing that right now. In difficulty, Jesus is working. People are praying. I watched on the Fox News channel when Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, stood up before the nation, and I quote, he said this, "God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and our lives. Our nation had turned its back on God. I encourage you, use this time at home to get back into the Word. Read our Bibles and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope. When just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. Now listen to this. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people of this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that is safer and stronger than ever." Prayer. And we know that the president declared just a few weeks back, a national day of prayer. You know what my hope is? Not just that families would be strengthened and that people would be praying, but that we would see revival in this nation. That we would see people come to their knees and they're confronted by the fact that one day they are going to be where Lazarus was. That they're going to die. You know, Alfred Noble woke up one morning and read the paper, and it had his own obituary in the paper. Come to find out, it was miswritten, that it was supposed to be the obituary of his brother who had recently passed away. But it hit Alfred Noble so hard, he was confronted by the fact that one day he would die. Alfred Noble was the inventor of dynamite. And he was known all across the world for the man who created dynamite. That had been used for so much destruction. It had good purposes and he intended it for good, but it had so much potential for evil. And he was known as the Dynamite Man. But when he read his obituary in the paper, all that began to change. And Alfred Noble said, "I don't want my name to be remembered forever as the Dynamite Man. I want it to be remembered for something good." And so he set apart an endowment for the sciences, for research and development. And we know that today as the Nobel Peace Prize. He devoted himself to a worthy cause. Let me tell you something. Every day on this earth that you have is a gift from God. The breath that you have is a gift from God. And I pray that if this COVID-19 does anything, it teaches us to number our days and use every moment for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God does that through this, it will all be worth it. In difficulty, Jesus is working. And in those darkest nights, He's doing His greatest work. But I want to tell you secondly, in delay, Jesus is waiting. In delay, Jesus is waiting. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's such a striking thing to me whenever I read that when Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick, He waited two more days. Why was He waiting? He was waiting for Lazarus to die. Why? Why would He be waiting for Lazarus to die? He was waiting for Lazarus to die for the glory of God. Look with me in verse 4. It says, "When Jesus heard it, He said, 'This illness does not lead to death.'" Yes, it meant that Lazarus would die, but that wasn't the end of the story. How many of you get to know you got to wait for the end of the story sometimes? You got to wait till the end of the book. Some of you like to read the end of the book first and find out what happens. But if you really want to read a good story and hear it the right way, a good John Grisham novel, you've got to start from the beginning and read it through to the end. They didn't have the end of the book, but Jesus knew the end of the story. He said, this does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So all of this was for the glory of God. But Jesus waited. Jesus waited. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a good waiter. I'm not a very patient person. The microwave sometimes is too slow for me. I get tired of waiting. But my wife has a rule, and this is what she says. You're not going to get the sweets until after you eat your vegetables. That's part of the rule. You don't get the dessert until you eat the vegetables. Now, my sons, they don't really like that rule. I remember one particular day that we came home with candy bars, and Caleb had, what he picked out was a ring pop. He had that ring pop, and he was a lot younger then. He had that ring pop, and he wanted it so bad. But Allison said, you've got to wait. You're not getting it right now. And he did not understand yet what wait meant. When she put that ring pop up in her purse, he went hysterical. Because he thought, waiting meant I couldn't have it. But I want you to understand this. Waiting doesn't mean you can't have it. Sometimes we have to wait on what we want so that we will have time to receive what we need. And God knows this. God knows this. There's a phrase that's been going around right now. It's the common lingo. And you've said it. I've said it. We say it. When this is all over. Amen. Even the newscasters, the news media, has picked up on that phrase. And they're starting to use it. When all of this is over. Or when this is all over. When we get back to normal. How many of you have been feeling that lately? I can't wait for this to be over. But listen, in delay, Jesus is waiting. Why would he wait? So that we can receive what we need. God is doing an amazing, mighty work among us even right now. Even right there where you are in your car, he's working on your heart. He's changing you from the inside out. And all I want to tell you this morning is just hold on a little bit longer. One day this will be over. This is not the end. Jesus knows the end of the story. And he says this illness does not lead to death when he speaks of Lazarus. And what he means for us is that this does not lead to destruction. Just hold on a little bit longer. And maybe you're in the thick of it right now. And you've heard the prayer of the saints that John heard whenever he saw a glimpse of heaven. They said, how long, O Lord? And what is his answer? Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Peter tells us, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's not in a hurry. He's always on time, and he's patient. I want to tell you, in delay, Jesus is waiting. In difficulty, Jesus is working. But lastly, in death, Jesus is winning. In death, Jesus is winning. Lazarus was allowed to die. He was allowed to die. Now listen to what it says again, verse 25. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, what does that mean for us? It means that for the believer, the one who puts their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, death is a door, not a destination. Death is not the extinguishing of light from the Christian. It is putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. Because the day is here. One day, we will all open our eyes, if we trusted in Christ Jesus, to an unending day. The Bible says in that place there won't be a lamp, there won't be a sun. It says the glory of the Lord will be our light forever. I think about that day a lot. I want to read to you what Paul has to say about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He teaches us, and he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. And you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Jesus said to her, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Listen, that's all she needed to say. That's all she needed to say. I believe. And you can make that same decision today. You can say to the Lord, I believe what you've said. I believe that you are alive. I believe that you conquered death. That you conquered the grave for me. Because I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I deserve to go in that ground. I deserve to die. And you can say that to the Lord. I believe. Now let's hear the rest of the story for just a moment, because it doesn't end here. Jesus comes to that place where Lazarus is. And every single Bible drill kid out there knows John 11:35. Because it's the easiest one to remember in all the scriptures. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. That's it. All of the Bible drill kids saying, I know that one. Jesus wept. But we have to ask the question, why did he weep at the tomb? Jesus knew what was about to happen in the power of God. Jesus knew that that stone was going to be raised or rolled away. So why was he weeping? I tell you, he was weeping over the lost souls. He was weeping over the ones who didn't know. He was weeping because of the ravages of sin. He was weeping. Today, he's calling you not to come out of a grave, but to come out of spiritual death, to come out of a life of sin, come out of a life that is going to lead to eternal separation from God. But Jesus said, roll that stone away. And they said, we can't roll the stone away. He's been dead for 4 days. He's going to stink. Jesus said, no, roll the stone away. So they did what Jesus said, and they rolled the stone away, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. heard a man say one day that if he had not said Lazarus and called Lazarus by name, every single person that was in that grave would have come out in that moment at the power of the words of Jesus. And one day there will be a cry of command and the voice of the Lord will be heard and every person will be raised again. Lazarus died again. But one day he's going to be raised up and he'll stand before God. And he'll give an account for his life. And God will say to him, "Why should you enter into my heaven?" Lazarus will say, "Because I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Him." Folks, that's the only answer. The only answer for the world today is the salvation of Jesus Christ that was purchased on the cross for sinners such as you and me. We want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you want to make that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation, we have prayer counselors by the phone in the office. And I'm going to give you the phone number. I want you to write it down right now. This is not just for those that want to trust Christ. This is for each and every person. If you need prayer, you can call. 850-455-7389. That's the church's phone number. I'm going to say that one more time. If you want to pick up the call and ask for prayer, you do that. 850-455-7389. I would encourage you to pick up that phone and call if you even have a question in your mind about who Jesus is and what He's done. But right now in this moment, I want to pray with you. If you're trusting in Jesus today for the very first time, I want to lead you in a prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Get right where you are in your own little bubble. Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I know that. But Lord, I repent of my sin today. I'm turning from it. I believe that Jesus died to save me from my sin. Lord, will You save me, a sinner? I confess my faith. I commit my life. Will You give me a home in heaven with You? I'll spend the rest of my life living for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give you that number one more time. 850-455-7389. Our singers are going to lead us in a couple more songs. If you've trusted in Christ this morning, pick up that phone and call. If you need prayer, you want someone to encourage you, counsel, pick up that phone and you call. Let us sing together. Just who I am because I need Deacons, I see a couple hands over here that he can get some. I want to make sure everybody has their packet. Paul is instructing the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the Lord's Supper and how to take it in a worthy manner. And he says that we should always examine ourselves and only eat of the bread and drink of the cup in a worthy manner. So I want us to take just a moment and ask God for cleansing, and ask God for renewal. If there's anything in our life that we need to repent of, I'm going to give you just a moment. Spend some time with the Lord. Verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Brother Roy, would you lead us in a prayer of blessing for the bread?
Father God, we just come before you today in this different setting, but it's still the same. It's still the body of believers, and this emblem of that unity of body is the bread we partake. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Verse 25, in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Father God, for the shed blood of Jesus, we thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood. Drink ye all of it." The Bible says on that night that Jesus was betrayed, they took that supper together. Then they sang a hymn before they went out into the garden. So we have one more song to sing.
One more song. Just without any accompaniment at all, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. We would be, it's first and last, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.